When you drive the brand ranked number one in dependability by J.D. Power, you can stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see yourself behind the wheel of the brand ranked number one in dependability by J.D. Power. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Kia received the fewest reported problems among all brands in the J.D. Power 2022 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study based on 2019 models. See jdpower.com/awards for 2022 details.
I'm going to go ahead and start recording.
Recording in progress.
Excuse me.
Average.
Yeah. Plenty of stuff to cover for a few minutes, and we're recording.
All right,
and I've got everything up, I believe. So
let's do it.
Go.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Marvel Multiverse Mayhem,
Ooh,
the official Marvel podcast.
Yeah,
Multiverse in two. The official Marvel multiverse, Marvel podcast of the Genreverse podcast network and LRMonline.com.
No, we are Marvel's official podcast. No.
Yeah, we are the official podcast of Marvel Cinematic Entertainment, Stu, whatever. But no, again, I'm here with Kyle. Say hello, Kyle. Now everyone can see you.
Yeah, I gave a peace sign. And now I'm putting the index that now.
And then we are also brought to you by Grow Generation, where the pros go grow.
Yes.
So we still have 1 week. Well, next week we finally get a new Marvel show. As I was laying, trying to fall asleep for a nap, I was actually thinking about my excitement level for She-Hulk and how it's pretty high compared to a lot of the other ones. Even with some of the stuff we've heard, just the trailer looks great. I don't know if we want to add anything really quick on that, Kyle.
Well, yeah, we can talk real quick moment about She-Hulk, and I don't mean to usurp any leadership because Nick is hosting today, but I did think of a great segue. So we'll start with that hood thing, the images from Ironheart, because that might lead into some stuff from She-Hulk. Run times for She-Hulk actually for the first few episodes was leaked, revealed, however you want to word it. Legado de Marvel posted a tweet and we ran with it. Looks like the first episode will be 30 minutes, 23 seconds. The second is 22:53, followed by 27 minutes and 3 seconds for episode 3. And then, we're fine. Episode 4 is 28 minutes and 34 seconds. So pretty, standard TV length almost when you count credits and stuff. The 22 minute one is only going to have what, maybe 15
especially
minutes
how long
of,
Marvel's
of
credits
stuff?
Are
I know they count the foreign language dub and stuff like that as part of the credits, and that's, dude, think about it. That episode 2 is only going to be, like I said, maybe 17-18 minutes of like showtime. That's
that one
short.
Surprises what? Me but otherwise, I assume they're going to be 30 minutes because aren't there 9 episodes? And that's what Feige said. They
want to
have
like
6-hour series. So that would fit the WandaVision model exactly. So when they said 9 episodes, I was like, okay, 30 minute ones. I do want to add, before we get too far into this, we will also be talking about Groot in addition to some news, because a Marvel program did come out this week and I didn't know it was coming out this week.
So the odd connection, and I don't know if this has been made official or not, but it looks like we're going to get the Wrecking Crew in She-Hulk. I don't know if that has officially happened or if it's still just like a good guess.
But that was a rumor for a long time.
Yeah, like I'm saying, it was a rumor, but we do know that thanks to our actual first story images from the Ironheart image, that the Hood will be making an appearance. And I know you said you're not super familiar with him. He was a criminal guy that gets some powers, wears a red hood. I mean, really, that's about it. But he did work with the Wrecking Crew with his crime syndicate. And there were even issues of New Avengers when Bendis was doing New Avengers in like 08, I think, 07, 08, somewhere around, maybe 09, but somewhere late aughts, if you will. The Hood was a big deal. Use the Wrecking Crew. Wrecking Crew might be in She-Hulk. And we know now for certain, thanks to these images, Nick, that you can talk about, the Hood is in Ironheart.
Yeah,
and I'm showing images on YouTube right now for you guys.
yeah. If you look at those images, I think the Ironheart suit. I mean, there's not much to the Hood suit. Obviously, it looks menacing.
It is exactly what it is.
Looks like he's wearing a suit under it, not just like some fighting clothes. He's got a gun. Picture I'm looking at. We'll see what his superpowers are versus how much he uses guns. Because again, She's a tech-based hero. I keep talking about, it feels like Marvel's doing different storylines, almost like the different timelines, but not the little timelines, where we have like our gamma shows and our shows. We're getting Armor Wars after Ironheart.
Yeah.
I think there's a rumor recently about Abomination or someone being in Armor Wars as well.
I could see that.
But I may have even dreamt that. That's how unsource of a source that is. But I love the look of Ironheart's costume, and I love that it can be done with CGI. But she could also fit inside of it, because it's not as chunky a suit as Iron Man wore, where only the Mark One is one you could actually wear. The rest of the time, it had to be CGI.
No, there were lots of practical parts, very similar to what you see on the images that I'm have up now. There was, going back to Iron Man One, a top and bottom that could be used practical, and a top that was usually worn with the mocap suit for almost everything else. And mostly the reason for some minimal practicality is to make sure that the movement of limbs will match what, you know, they're putting the armor on. Because if you're too loose and you've got a bulky suit, then the mocap won't necessarily line up right. Seams won't be as seamless, if you will. They definitely did have, but you're right, over time, especially by the time you get to the bleeding edge
nanotech armor, it's like all CGI.
That was almost all CGI. Exactly. I don't know how I feel about this. There's two things that are, excuse me, going on. One, these are apparently images of her Mark II suit.
Okay.
The Mark I will, I guess, still be pretty rustic. We might see that, you know, what's being carved out in the Wakanda Forever trailer, where you see the heart-shaped hole being cut from thick plate metal. So this being the Mark II, I'm okay with. But I always thought, and I might be wrong because I've not read any of her comics directly. I was far out of Kate books for the most part by the time she rolled in. She was already kind of advanced. She wasn't building anything in a cave. So the more clunky type stuff, I don't know how it's going to play out, because I always thought she was like already ahead of the curve, if you will. But it looks Marvel-ish. It looks Iron Man-ish. It looks
War Machine.
It looks fun,
I would say, especially like it's
War Machine-ish
thicker,
too. Yeah,
it's bigger.
Absolutely. So absolutely, that's a good one, Nick.
And honestly, looking at now, the mask kind of reminds me of Taskmaster, which is the only negative about the suit. Is now I'm thinking about Taskmaster.
I don't really see. It's a metal mask, so.
Do you think part of the reason we're seeing such? I mean, obviously the shots are, some are practical, some are, she has wearing the cap. Do you think one of the reasons we're actually seeing a full practical suit is so that it's, I know we're getting a character next week with a full CGI character, but do you think it's to save a little money on CGI? Like put a stuntman in there as much as possible?
I think it's just like I was kind of saying, there's times where you need a practical suit specifically for movement, and here you can see that she's been, or the suit, I don't necessarily, there's no there's no sign that the full suit is necessarily her. Most likely it is a stunt person, but you might be running into a situation where you're going to be interacting with a physical character more, and having a whole CGI suit would just be an issue, especially today, given the cost of materials, cost of personnel, cost of everything, basically. I think in general, it would have almost been cheaper to do all CGI, and the fact that they're doing practical, I'm guessing, means that it's something that they really couldn't do in VFX. So
the other thing, it works well. Could be, usually wouldn't need an entire suit, but in CGI, sometimes they just need a light reference. Like the arms might not even move. It just might be there to have like, okay, here's the reference for our VFX artist.
Maybe.
But I assume
and
it's
could
more,
be a,
there'll be someone in there and it's like really obviously plastic, not metal.
They've got a wheelie cart underneath it. It looks, they're hooking things up. It doesn't look like just like the stand-ins they use for Rocket when... what's his name is not running around on all fours pretending to be Sean Gunn, is not pretending to be Rocket, but who knows. I mean, you can't really tell a lot. One thing I do know is that her mocap suit definitely is to enable the animators to make sure it all looks right, the mix between having physical and mocap on her. So we'll see how it goes.
And then there's also this kind of related to it. I don't know if it could be a different identity for the hood, but there's a rumor. I don't know where did it come from. The Illuminati. That the series will feature the son or daughter of Obadiah Stane.
Oh yeah, that's been a rumor
even
a long,
cast.
Long time ago.
And, wasn't he and cast then, this week?
Maybe I don't know. I can
might
try
be
to
Nick making
look.
Up shit again. But maybe that's who the hood is. Like, you know, you killed my father. Your mentor, ooh, who you never met, killed my father. Or maybe he was cast in Armor Wars and not even in this.
Maybe I remember
fitting.
Ezekiel Stane has been. Mentioned. Let's see if I can find something on the MCU side of things. No, all of that is that's not MCU. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Maybe we talk about it next week briefly.
I see. They say Alden Einrath.
Yes,
someone.
That's why I saw
someone
the solo
is saying,
guy.
But
it's
I don't necessarily.
It's not.
That's only one
or variety, right?
It's only one place I've seen.
That's what
that
I
pop
saw.
Up.
I was like, oh, the solo kid.
Yeah. So
I thought he had been cast in Marvel in some role already. But okay, there is. Next, we're gonna talk about Giancarlo Esposito, who. Everyone's favorite villain actor, though someone complained after this quote that if he had the range to play it, because he's kind of right. He's like, he's not just a villain actor, he's the same villain every time. There's not much difference in this. He's just scary. Like, he's really good at it, like Anthony Starr as Homelander, but he never changes.
Yeah.
But it looks like Giancarlo Esposito would like to play an entirely different character than I want him to play. We've had this conversation a lot on here about X-Men casting, and ever since it was announced that Marvel was going to buy Fox, I was like, damn, I'd love to see Giancarlo Esposito as Magneto.
You typecasting son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know, and that's what it's interesting. So Esposito said at the TGH superhero car and show and Comic-Con, they had to combine them because it's Texas, you have a car show in there too. So I have not worked for Marvel yet, obviously.
A lot of good
I've been in a room with them and talked to them, and I don't know how Marvel would pass up on this. And he's like, so there's been talk of Magneto, there's been talk of Dr. Freeze, there's been talk of who else they're talking about over there. Oh, Doom. And then there's Professor X. Pick one. I'm going to go for something a little bit different. I'm going to go and put it out in the universe. It is Professor X. So he wants to play Professor X, which now I am actually in favor of that instead of based on the guy's tweet the other day, I am in favor of that over Magneto, because it would be interesting seeing him play a good guy.
Yeah. And one of the, you know, one of the things you and I and others here on the Genreverse Podcast Network's Daily Cog, and I don't know if you guys have discussed him on Breaking Geek, even though I produce the show, I don't pay any attention. I'm joking. I got a brain injury and can't remember everything. Anyways, that casting comes with less expectations in a way, and before people get mad at me, hold on. It comes with less expectations of certain history. Mm-hmm. We've discussed Magneto has to suffer bigotry in two forms: one as a human, whether that's religious, racial, whatever, and second as a mutant. And then we've discussed how, you know, it's really hard to compare anything to the Holocaust, which is Magneto's comic origin, unless you start going outside of Europe or America, if you want a certain age, right? Unless you're going to play with time travel and multiverse in that way. Xavier, on the other hand, he's just a decent person, you know, who's got history with Magneto, of course, but Charles doesn't have to be any particular race, religion, mm-hmm. doesn't even really have to come through from any particular time, other than, like I said, needing to have some sort of history with
and an age
with Magneto,
a close enough age,
right?
That really be his only restriction.
Other than that, so for me, it is a much easier cast to sell. An easier one to, and that's not taking anything away from either role or Carlos
Giancarlo Esposito.
It's not taking anything away from them. Again, I've been pointing out it's a very, very dangerous in a way casting Magneto, because you're locking yourself into some things, and everything's going to be compared to whatever trauma he goes through. People are literally going to look and go, how does that compare to trauma of the Holocaust? Like I said, for the most part, especially in Western countries like the U.S., most of Western and Central Europe, there's not really anything in the last 30, 40 years that comes anywhere close to that, you know. So it'll be interesting. What do you think about? You say you're more excited about him doing a good guy now than a bad guy.
Though I also like, I really don't want him to be Doom. I mean, he's listing the fan casting.
Yeah,
he's not listing the things he's talked about necessarily. Because why hide his best feature as a villain is his face.
I think it's his voice.
His voice too, and that would be interesting. I was making a big deal the other week that he should let Professor X be from Philadelphia. God damn it, he's been past British the last two times. But it's like, oh, I don't kind of care if he's from South America or wherever Giancarlo Esposito's from. Like, that really doesn't matter.
Any American?
Yeah.
You mean his ethnicity? You don't.
Oh, care I said what, like Southern America. Well, I mean, like, he's probably, well, he has the accent. Don't drop the accent. So he was probably born and raised partially in South America. So it's not like he's throwing on the same accent for Star Wars, and it's his real accent. I mean, I guess he could put on a Philadelphian accent, but I don't know. Why bother? That's what, another one of his things is his voice. I would say that makes him so powerful. And though it's a don't throw him behind a helmet before, I don't want him as Doom. But I actually like the idea of him as Mr. Freeze also. But again, it's just playing into the trope of, hey, I'm the best villain actor out there. Just make me a villain again. So
yeah, no, dude, he was born in Copenhagen. He's an American. You know, Americans do have accents, born and raised in America.
Thick accent.
Dude, oh my God, you used to live in California. Nick, we're going to continue on, because that's, yeah.
Maybe it's because he's played.
He's good to go.
He's played what was a fictional version of a Cuban character in Far Cry. Then, of course, he's
maybe
from even farther south in Mexico. But I think it's South America, not even Mexico. In
maybe his father is Italian and his mother is African-American.
Damn. Well, he probably is throwing on an accent for those two roles. And then I just assumed he had the same accent in Star Wars. And I think he does.
I don't know.
I don't think he has the accent in Star Wars. And
like I was saying, even the boys, with an accent, it's very, I know lots of Americans born and raised, but because of where they were raised, they are around a
subset sometimes.
Community yeah. that still has heavy, you know, heavy accents. So yeah, let's continue on, Nick.
Okay. And with that, unless you have anything more to say about that, Kyle, let's get from our sponsor.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Thanks for sponsoring Grow Generation.
Is it over?
Yeah, it's okay, over. I was welcoming us. I can see the screen when it ends. So I was welcoming us back.
So we have I guess you call it a TV show, or even though their build is five different shorts, which kind of made
that was
them
annoying.
Harder to find. Yeah,
that was very annoying.
It's not even like the Groot collection. It's like we recommend. I am this Groot one and Guardians of the Galaxy.
This
and,
one episode. That was awful, Disney. Seriously, guys, put all of those under one thing.
But we got some really cute I am Groot CGI, great CGI shorts, to the point where the backgrounds animated. Look like the movies. Well, they're still like it's animation style, but it's like they didn't go far away from like the Milano's interior. It looks pretty. Yeah.
No, you could just tell it's that it's all new renders and not meant to. It was really close, though.
Rocket? Didn't you think Rocket looked exactly the same?
Very stiff. No, he was very, very stiff. Animation for Rocket, but good. I mean, textures were mostly it was video game-ish.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
Me too. I find that's kind of a lost art, like doing short shorts without dialogue really much in them. Like four of them have no dialogue. It reminds
like
me
the
of
old Looney Tunes and silly symphonies from Disney.
Yeah, exactly. Because now they're all like I've seen updated versions of the Looney Tunes on a HBO Max, and like now they're like full phone conversations and stuff going on.
Yeah, used to just get rabbit like, season, no duck season. Yeah, and what's up, Doc?
Like,
and
that was what's about up, it. Doc? Yeah, or like the whole one with the Mozart or whatever, where it's all being I think of those. Or even the Boys did a great job with that. Boys Diabolical, the first episode by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
That just went on too long. The whole it was longer than most Tex Avery style cartoons.
But it was so refreshing.
And it was good. But these I really found them very I like slapsticky stuff. I'm a big Monty Python Flying Circus fan. I like old Benny Hill, Three Stooges, Abbott and Costello, like that. That's comedy stuff that I love to this day. And this provided that. Out of all five of these shorts, I think the little guy was probably my favorite. That's the one with the little alien.
That was my favorite too. I think Futurama. Thing remind
yes,
me of that episode.
Yes, the Godfellas is what that's called. And when Bender is out in space and gets a small group of people living on his body, great episode. When you're doing things right, people won't be sure you're doing anything at all. I love that line in that show. The one I liked the least, I would say, was the dancing one.
Yes.
But that still wasn't bad. It was
I agree
just like
with you
the
completely.
Dancing. The dancing was like, okay, that's cool. The ending was great.
The ending
I
was hilarious.
They put him out the airlock. But I was kind of like, the dancing bit went on a little bit too much. Again, it was fine, but then it was just a little too long, and I was like, okay, yeah, we can move on. Okay, you put him out the airlock. Good, yeah. Now it's done. But
yeah, I agree with you on both of those. Those are the two I was gonna ask you about. Then, like, what's your favorite? What's your least favorite? Even though, yeah, they're all adorable. They're all under 5 minutes with. Those giant Marvel credits at the end of like every
like
country
that.
They because like none of them overstayed their welcome, because they were even shorter than the Tex Avery type stuff you were talking about.
Yeah. These were perfectly short, man. I mean, if anyone, I told the guys on the Cantina, our Star Wars show, basically Star Wars. This is the Marvel version of that. But no, I told Cam and Shockey that they should watch them because they were kind of sleeping on them. And I was like, yeah, no, these are good. These are not. They're 100% skippable, but you shouldn't.
Because technically it is. Yeah, it's canon. It's just these are little tiny moments in Groove's life where no one else is around except for the last episode where we get Drax in the shower. And
Gunn said this isn't canon for him, but Gunn doesn't consider anything. And that's why I was want to be canon.
Well, because I was wondering about that watching it. I watched the credits very closely. He didn't write or direct any. He was just a producer on a long line of the normal producers.
That's just, you know, because it's a Guardians thing. So of course, I'm not saying that they didn't, you know, ask him, hey, do you think this is cool? Do you like this? I just think he's like, hey, I'm
harmless
focused on
shorts.
Basically. They're worth watching.
Yeah, definitely. And then, I did pay close attention to the actors, and we did always get Vin Diesel, and we did get
Bradley Cooper,
because I was wondering about that especially, because I heard his voice, I'm like, that's him, but they keep airing a commercial on Hulu for like Disney's 50th, and they have like they're showing clips from the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride, and I'm like, I thought they got the original cast for that, because that does not sound like Bradley Cooper if you ever see that commercial on TV.
I haven't seen the commercial, but I'm fairly... They got him for
for the pre-show.
The other, well, not just that, but the tower breakout, mission breakout or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Cooper. So
and that's not either there nor here. But yeah, I enjoyed them. I recommend. Did we know they were being dropped that day? Or
yeah, we knew they were being dropped. Not in that method of hey, we're putting five shows all with their own landing page. That is stupid.
So watch
Disney.
Out
Who
for that.
Did,
Watchers
did that.
You have to find all five. They'll always be in the related videos, and I doubt the order matters.
I mean, kind of the walking first because he's you know in the plant. I think that's the one you should watch first. Groot's first first steps or whatever. But after that, none of them really matter.
I watched in the order it recommended. So I mean, like when
the first one I found was the little guy. That was the first one I saw.
That was the second one for me, and then I did the mud bath one. And then, no, that the horror cool. one was between the mud bath one, and then mud bath one almost got dark. But then he
that
just
was funny.
He just shaved the animal. I thought he killed the animal. Was wearing it. But yeah, I recommend it, Kyle.
Love it.
Recommend it. Nice and harmless. Absolutely. 25 minutes out of your day. Less
not
if you
even
skip the
not
credits.
Even that if you skip the credits. There's nothing special after them at all.
I texted Kyle yesterday. I'm like, oh, it's out. And then he was like, yeah, we make sure we have time to watch it. We'll do it tomorrow. And then I went to the bathroom like 20 minutes later. And I'm like, Kyle, I finished it.
It's all right. I needed a break yesterday anyways.
Plus,
so
we'll be recording on Thursdays going forward, folks, as long as She-Hulk is on.
Yeah, we'll figure out nine timing. Weeks. It would be great if we're able to get those out same day, but that's a tall order on me, audience. But we'll see.
All right. And with that, hit all the socials. Like, subscribe, yada yada, ring that bell, like I said, subscribing, follow us, you can do the same on any of your favorite podcast or audio in general services, Apple Music, podcast, TV, whatever it's called now, you know, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. And again, if you can give us a review, and of course on YouTube, where you can, as I already mentioned, you can click up, like a up finger, thumb up, not like above.
Up fingers?
Now
or thumbs?
And up thumbs.
Thumbs.
Thumbs up.
There.
And with that, of course, we have many other great podcasts here on the Genreverse Podcast Network. We already discussed the Cantina, which is Star Wars version of this, or the Star Wars version of them, whatever.
The Marvel version of that.
You're going to have first. And then Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, Animeversal Reviews, Daily Cup of Genre, and
Genre shot trailer reactions.
I always forget the name of that one, but yeah, that's still my favorite.
And the new AVR squared, which is anime versus reviews reactions.
Oh,
like that. Nice. AVR squared. Yeah, so that's just us reacting to anime shows. So yeah, check all that out.
Cool. And with that, Excelsior.
Enough said. It didn't go. Now.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.